Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello there. Welcome to the show that's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. You can check out that 10% discount at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. I'm Dan Moylan. Fuck the Daily Mail. With me is Michael Normanson.
Hello.
And Moscow White. Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
Want more, do you? Do you want more? And without adverts? You can get it. That's TSB Plus. All these podcasts ad-free. Access to all the digital mags that we've done since 2009. Priority access to the match ball after the games next season. And a daily email with all the essential Leeds United news written by Moscow. Plus discounts on our merchandise at thesquareball.net/plus. Have a look at that. This is the Euro Ball, then our diary through the summer, where we will make our way through the tournament. We're keeping an eye on things from a Leeds United perspective, of course, but an eye on things as a whole, too. It's 3 years since Marcelo Bielsa took charge of Leeds United, and he is responsible for Calvin Phillips being brilliant and running things for England. So, really, it's his success, isn't it, when England beat Croatia?
I don't think there's any other perspective you can bring to the European Championships at the moment other than a Leeds one. We are the best thing about it.
Enjoying it so far? What have you made of it? 10 games have been played at the time of recording. We're recording on Tuesday morning. It's been mostly all right, you think?
I think England winning gives it all a more positive spin, doesn't it? And I've not...
I know our Irish and Scottish and Welsh listeners will definitely
speaking
agree.
Personally, yeah. Well, I'm not sure the Irish listeners have... got much investment in this other than Leeds
people
either.
Will be
so
choking on their haggis as they listen to this outrage.
But I've been enjoying it mostly. I think, oh yeah, the England win has helped, but as a spectacle so far, because it's been expanded and there are what you might perceive to be weaker teams in there. Because, like, you go back to Euro 96, and what were there, 8 teams in it at that point?
I think in Euro 96 there were more. By that point, yeah, there were some group stages. Well, by
92
then.
Was 8, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or 16.
But 92 was definitely 8. I think 96 might have been more, but I'm prepared to be wrong.
We definitely played Switzerland, Scotland and Holland, didn't we? So there must have been groups.
Yeah. Anyway.
It is a bit dull so far due to that, where there's no real... I mean, Scotland losing 2-0, that should be terrible, but it's actually just fine. Just make sure you win your next one and draw. And
do we want that?
They might not. Well, I'd like Liam Cooper to be... having an enjoyable summer. I've no problem with that whatsoever.
Okay. Do you know Scotland are playing next?
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. But then I'm, you know.
Well, listen.
As long as sport is the winner.
Football talk is not why we're here. We're here to open stickers because we need to fill up our Panini album. We did open some last time, didn't we, Michael?
We got a bit excited.
Yeah.
Because we thought that people wouldn't... We thought that people wanted us to talk about football and not about opening stickers.
Oh,
turns out people were into the stickers more than the chat. So yeah.
I've pulled out straight away Ryan Jack, the guy who screwed it up for Scotland. Don't shoot from there. Shoot from there. That was the lesson, wasn't it?
Well, let's just benchmark the quality of this Panini album, because I've got Sergio Ramos, who came out of the stickers that I opened. He's not there. We've got a bloke from Slovakia called Robert Mazan. Glenn Kamara. Chris's lad for Finland. He's... here you go, Moscow. Stick him in. He's the most popular sticker so far, isn't he? Because we've got one of those half and half ones with him. I've got another lad from Slovakia, Stanislav Lobotka, who, that sort of name sounds like he was in Chernobyl, the drama series, not the disaster. And then I've got a couple of, who are they from?
I think these
lads might be. Oh, we've gone Slovakia crazy in this one. We've got a 50-50 half and half one. I've got Albert Ruznak and Robert Bozhenek.
We should have swapped, because I've just got Scots people in mind. Much easier to pronounce. I've got Lyndon Dykes, and then I've got Lyndon Dykes again on a half one with Ryan Fraser, Ryan Jack and John McGinn, and then David Hankel from...
Ryan Jack has made he's committed the crime of having two first names, of course. Daniel James.
Well, he could give one to Rodri, who I've also got on a half and half with Danny Olmo.
I have thrown the stickers towards you on the table, Moscow. You might struggle to see them. I've just realised because we've got a very busy table here in the studio.
You can't fool me.
All the magazine covers on it. I've opened my next lot as well. Any interest? Oh, I've got some Scotsman. Do you want them?
Still no shinies between us?
No.
Mm.
What is this bollocks?
I've got two Scotsmen here. I've got Declan Gallagher and David Marshall. Marshall for you there. Two more Scotsmen. There, it's a half and half one. Ryan Babel, I've heard of him.
Oh, yeah. Played for Liverpool for a time. Is he still in their squad?
Is it the same one?
Yeah, I know he did have like a bit of a late resurgence in his career. I'm not sure if he actually made the final squad or not.
He was born in 1986, so how old does that make him? 35?
Sort of half and half between him having a late resurgence and the Netherlands being a bit poor.
I've got Steven Berghaus. Berghuis? I'm going to say Berghaus, probably.
Make a little Berghaus in your soul.
That's the one. He played in England for someone shit at some point, I think. Oh, that might be wrong. I've got Dominik Livakovic, who looks like a Croatian goalkeeper. I've then got a couple of... Which badge is that?
Oh, a badge.
Let's have a look. Is it
Alexander Dragovic. Oh, okay. What badge is that on his shirt?
Is that the Slovak? I can't see from over it. Let's have a look. Christ, the lack of knowledge. Is that...
I mean, the itch.
Is that Austria? It's Austria.
Okay. I think I was thrown by the fact that he's got an itch on his name.
I've got one as well because I've got Christopher Trimmel. That sounds like a hair removal implement, doesn't it? The Trimmel. Trimmel 3000.
I've got Ribus.
Shave your bollocks with the Trimmel 3000.
From Poland. And then just for Moscow, on a half and half, Mikhail Lustig and Victor Lindelof. There you go.
Oh, your fave. Who does he play for?
Put it in the album. Don't put it on your pencil case or anything. That's to go in.
I've got two of the Hazard brothers. Mickey's not here, but I do have Eden and Thorgan. They've put them on a half and half, which I think is nice for Belgium. And this fella. Oh, that'd be a good Scrabble score. I'm terrible with Polish names and pronunciations, so forgive me. Looks like Gregor's.
Gregory.
Greg. Krychowiak. So there you go.
Into my second pack now. Zava Schlager, who's another Austrian. Then I've got a half and half with Yuri Tielemans and Axel Witsel. Heard of both of them. Then I've got Barnabas Bessi, Hungarian.
That's a great name.
It is a good name. Nazim Sangare, Turkey, and Mario Pasalic, Croatia. What a pile of shit.
We have doubles here, actually. We already had the Hazard brothers, so we're starting to get into...
Do we want to open this up to swaps then, do we? If you want to do some swapsies with us, should we?
We have had some offers. Yeah, some people. Send them in.
I'm going to save my next pack for later on in the show because I don't want to spoil the fun too much.
We don't want to do all the good stuff at the start.
No. Anyway, let's talk about foosball and England versus Croatia. In the wake of that, here's a big question for you. Do you think that's the happiest you've ever felt following an England game?
For a long time, certainly. Just reflecting in the glory of Calvin Phillips. Not the team as a whole. Couldn't care less about them. No, it was a good performance all around, but I think the Calvin Phillips stuff has certainly made it live on far beyond that afternoon of going, that's good, England have won.
Because it felt like our victory, and I know, you know, there's national borders to deal with and national rivalries when it comes to supporting players, but even if you're not English, you must have seen that and thought, that's nice for Calvin.
Unless you work for a tabloid paper, then you thought, time to dig out the old story about his dad.
Yeah, twats. Calvin Phillips is a player who is so understated. He's had a fantastic start to his international career. I thought he was immense throughout the game, as they all were, said Southgate. And he's basically low maintenance, which is ideal.
Low maintenance, high performance, which is an interesting quote because that is...
Opposite of Michael.
It's a Howard Wilkinson favourite, is that line. I once listened to him explaining Chris Fairclough to me in great depth, and it all came down to he was low maintenance, high performance.
Maintenance,
whatever.
Tomato.
He wasn't a problem.
I have opened my next stickers, go on.
Never a problem in training, never in trouble off the pitch. You didn't really have to tell him what to do. He would just go out and then every single game he would be brilliant. And there's loads of examples. I did I'm repeating, if you got the propaganda email on one day, you know all this, but he said it about Norman Hunter the other day. Not the other day, but after Norman died, it's one of the things Howard Wilkinson said about him and various other occasions. Rod Wallace is one he described as low maintenance, high performance, because he just went out there and did it. And it's interesting to then hear that coming out of Gareth Southgate's mouth, because Howard Wilkinson was, after leaving Leeds, FA's technical director. And if we all know what Thorpe Archer's meant to Leeds United over the years. St George's Park, the National FA Training Centre, is all basically Howard Wilkinson's project, and his FA, it was the Charter for Quality that he wrote at that time that was basically the blueprint that the FA now, ever since, has been working from to sort out the English national team. And I found a report of one of the milestones in that success was the under-17s winning the World Cup.
Was that Lewis Cook who won that?
It was before that, but it was Jadon Sancho, Phil Foden, Callum Hudson-Odoi, basically a lot of the current players who are now breaking through into the England team were all there. So when it wasn't just that Gareth Southgate said that about Calvin Phillips, that he also then said, that's what we like. And it's because that is what is written down at the FA, as that is what they look for in a player.
So Howard Wilkinson's victory. Yes, correct.
Yeah, basically. And, you know, he always gets his grief for that one game he was caretaker manager of England that was fairly terrible because we sucked at the time.
But the man had vision, is what you're saying. Because, I mean, to go back to the story of St George's Park, it was because Thorpe Arch, he'd visited France, hadn't he? He'd seen their national youth academy over there. Is it Bluefontaine or something like it's called?
Yeah.
And oh, I've probably got that wrong. Then he came back and said, we need to replicate this. We need to make a footballing hothouse. And that's what he did at Thorpe Arch, because there was the accommodation up there, which has since been sold off and turned into various other things and demolished, and it's now a housing estate. But still, at the time, the idea was to get all these young lads away from the city centre into the countryside, all around the training ground, and they lived and breathed it. And that's the generation that came through, Kewell, Smith, etc., Woodgate, wasn't it? And he wasn't quite there to see his vision to fruition. David O'Leary was the one who brought those players through in the end. But it was there. The blueprint was there, wasn't it? And then it was then a case of applying that on a bigger scale to England and St George's Park, which they have done. And it seems to have paid dividends up to this point anyway, if you are to take Sunday as a measure.
And you can see some of that in, you know, we do wonder sometimes what the fuck Gareth Southgate is doing managing the England team, and, you know, Aidy Boothroyd being in charge of the under-21s for so long. And it's because they've tried to build that internal system where, you know, Southgate was the under-21s manager, so he moves on to becoming the England manager rather than just doing a Spurs and going, well, who's any good? Who actually wants to do this? And so that sort of planned development, a lot of it has to do with the things that Howard Wilkinson was working on 25 years ago.
And working with Marcelo Bielsa and having the season he has had gave him confidence, but all the attributes were there. High performance, low maintenance, we like that a lot. And praise as well from Michael Ballack, Mesut Ozil, Nigel de Jong on Twitter, who all perhaps know a little bit more than the twats from other clubs. Who,
I thought you were going to say us then. I was going to say, well, hang on a minute.
Well, they don't know more than us, do they? We're opening stickers. Yeah.
I mean, we've been talking about Calvin Phillips for ages. Where's Michael Ballack been all this time?
That is the thing that has happened this week. Everyone's gone, oh, turns out he's quite good. Actually, now I've seen him doing stuff in a team that I'm appreciating rather than a team that I'm disliking in the form of Leeds. I've realised that they're good. I mean, we talked about this a bit on the weekend, and like, it was different.
Was that when Moscow couldn't be arsed?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. It was quite different to his Leeds performances, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah,
when you look at where he was doing his best work, it was in quite a different area than we used to. But it just shows he can do that too.
What, Wembley?
Wembley. But I mean, the stat that it was The Athletic had it in an article today about the pressures applied to opposition players, and he was just absolutely miles ahead of everyone, as you would expect of a Leeds player.
And we can retweet that now from a "see, we told you so" point of view rather than a "leave him alone."
Although it was quite nice, actually, last night, so when the Daily Mail and I think the Mirror ran a similar article about his family and stuff, seeing just how defensive everyone was of Calvin, I really liked that yesterday.
Because he's a lovely lad. And
that was the thing, yeah. It was a bit like, you fucking what? Everyone just turned at the same moment and went, no, not Calvin. Absolutely not. You're not doing this.
It does put him in a strange position of kind of that development. As our players become Premier League stars, I wonder what it makes him think about his future, because obviously the other side of this has been all the links to Real Madrid want to swap him for Marcelo, and Liverpool will sign him, and then that Daily Mail article is just that little taste,
a little dog whistle.
Well, it's that as well, but it's also a little taste of the grief you do get when you play for a club like Liverpool or Manchester City. Leeds is still in that kind of I wonder if it's almost a sweet spot where the attention is not so hyper ridiculous as it is around somebody like, you know, Marcus Rashford or
Sterling as well.
Well, the thing is, Phillips as well, at the moment, he earns a fortune, don't get me wrong. He doesn't yet earn 200 grand a week. That's when a newspaper really starts to dislike you.
Yeah, and so it's then, it's like, well, what does he want out of the future? Because, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he continues his trajectory and outpaces Leeds and is like, well, I can go and win the Champions League. But then the other side of that is, well, I could do that, but then also my mum's going to get all this hassle, my girlfriend's going to have a, you know, I mean, half of the Daily Mail story is just pictures that they're taken off his Instagram and off his family's Instagram. And one of the captions, I mean, this is a indication of where fucking standards are. One of the captions was Calvin Phillips pictured with his mum as a child. It's like, fucking, they can't even punctuate a caption on a photograph properly. He wasn't pictured with his mum as a child. He was a child pictured with his mum.
The thing is, the Calvin Phillips story, it is an interesting story and it's something that is there to be told, but not by those pricks.
Yeah,
it's there to be told by some people.
It's there to be told by Calvin Phillips when he's ready, if he wants to. Otherwise, fucking leave him alone and all of them.
Or by someone who's going to write it properly and sympathetically, not someone who is trying to get some people to click and go, oh, look at this, look at his dad, eh? I mean, isn't that bad?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was all, I mean, everything in it was lifted from interviews he's done before. And it was Henry Winter, I think, was the first person he spoke to about his dad. And that was, you know, Henry Winter knows how to handle that kind of story. And it was sensitively written and held up as you know, just here is the story of Calvin Phillips, some interesting things that it's good to know about somebody that people like. And then, yeah, it just gets dragged out and twisted into the Daily Mail's particular style of
brand of journalism,
of what they want to achieve. And then if you want to take it into the big picture, then it does kind of help explain why footballers feel they need to protest against racial inequality in society, because there is a perfect example of a difference in the way white footballers and black footballers are written about. It's absolutely right there. So if you know, they get the grief of, you know, why are these millionaire footballers preaching to us? They don't have any problems. That's exactly, they're the ones.
I'll say this on the value
it's written about
on the appearance of Sunday. Marxism is working, isn't it?
Well, I mean, all that stuff. It's
fucking tiresome, is what it is.
Yeah, even that's been a perfect example of why they need to keep doing it. The fact that footballers, when they try to make a point about inequality in society, get told to shut the fuck up and stop preaching to people. But then when Billy Piper's failed ex-husband has an opinion, it's, oh, well, we'd better discuss this. There's an opinion that everybody...
Billy Piper come from?
Is Lawrence Fox's...
Yeah, Lawrence Fox.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he was married to her.
That's basically...
I thought you were about Chris Evans.
No.
No, Lawrence... Yeah, she married both of them. I mean, you've got...
Yeah.
Poor woman. I mean, fair choice, I suppose. But yeah.
You do have to wonder. But yeah, I mean, that whole thing has been, you know, how we've allowed the discussion that the footballers were trying to start about the state of society just to be moved to... Lawrence Fox thinks Harry Kane is a Marxist. What do you think about that? Well,
don't give a shit.
This is what we're up against, isn't it? Why don't we actually talk
anyway,
about
it? Anyway, the foreign papers deal with it differently. It was nice. I mean, I didn't understand it all, but the nice thing about Dutch is that you can kind of get a good handle on what it's saying without really understanding it, because it's got that sort of elements of English to it.
You understood the Pearlo van Yorkshire?
Yeah, the Pearlo van Yorkshire, the Pearlo of Yorkshire. And my favourite three words out of that, and you could argue it was four words, but I like what the Dutch have done with this, is cult coach Marcelo Bielsa in that article. He's a cult coach, which he is. And he's brilliant. And he's made my world better. So Phillips got man of the match by the official England someone
thing. I think it was an online poll.
Was it a vote?
Which he was always going to win anyway. If he'd have had the worst game of his life, he'd have probably still won that, because Leeds players do. But he deserved it.
A beautiful symbol of the togetherness at Thorpe Arch as well, with Luke Ayling wearing his Phillips shirt, which... There's an argument that Luke Ayling wasn't a million miles away from that squad.
He'd been better than Kyle Walker in that first half.
Christ, yeah.
And do we want to talk about who should have been the striker? I bet he's wishing he could have brought Pat Bamford on for that useless lump up front.
I was watching that and I did think Bamford would probably have functioned slightly better in that system than Harry Kane. I think he'd have certainly got more running done.
Yeah.
I mean, he might not have finished in the same way that Kane has the capability of finishing, like by throwing his torso into a post, but... I suspect Bamford would do really well in that England side, and maybe at some point in the future we'll see him. But I felt for him a bit, actually, just on a sort of low level on Sunday when I was watching that.
I'm sure he's fine, but there must be a little bit of you watching performances like that and thinking, could probably have done a bit of a shift there. But
it must be hard knowing that you're close. That's the thing I've been spoken about. And like you're sat at home in your garden with Duke. I'm sure Duke and is his girlfriend Melissa?
Michaela.
Michaela, that's the one. Michaela and
Duke. Did you see out with Melissa that time?
Don't tell anyone. Oh shit, I've recorded it now.
His poor ex. You'll need to edit that.
No, it's, they can stay.
His poor beloved, half murdered by a horse.
How is she? Do we
and
know?
She's fine.
Were you at her bedside?
No.
When she was sleeping, were you watching?
No, don't be weird.
Right, let's run through the next set of players. I've got a Swiss. It's not Berardi. It's Sylvain Widmer. There you go. You can have him. I've got Andrea Bellotti. Isn't that an opera singer? From Italy, anyway.
Oh, well, if he's from Italy, then yes.
Oh, Christ.
They're all opera singers, aren't they?
We've got a Dane in the form of Daniel Vass. And then Ukraine, Ilya Zabarinyi. I'm going to go with that one, that pronunciation. And then, right, so on this sticker, you know there are two types of camels. There's the camels with one hump and the camels with two, isn't there?
Mm.
Well, I've got two camels here, a pair of camels. I've got Camel Grzycki, remember him? And Camel Jozwiak from Poland, the pair of them. So there you go.
Pair of Polish camels. I've got the first smiley. Smiley, shiny. God, I'm tired today. Slovakia. There we go. Slovakia's shiny badge.
That looks like a sort of from a distance. It's kind
like
of
a space thing.
Yeah, like a 1960s like nucleus of an atom spinning round. Kind of, yeah, we'll put that on a rocket.
It's a football design, isn't it? It's
yeah, but from here, I mean, just because, you know.
Yeah, I thought it looked like if a film wants to have NASA in it but haven't paid the licensing rights, they've just done their own...
Fallout Boy!
Space Force, or whatever it's called. Was that Trump's the actual Space Force?
Yeah, it was actually a Space Force now.
Jesus Christ. Well, I've got the Finnish-Irishman. I've got, on a half and half, I've got Daniel O'Shaughnessy, who we talked about last time. He's there with Paulus Arajuri. There you go. Did you see Ben, speaking of people out of place with their names, did you see Ben Brereton of Nottingham Forest and Blackburn with Brereton Diaz on his shirt for Chile? Very strange picture.
Yeah, I watched that actually last night. It was Argentina-Chile, and it's on BBC iPlayer if you're in the UK, by the way. You can watch the Copa America. You know, he was playing for Argentina, don't you?
Was he in the team?
He was in the number 7 shirt, which threw me slightly, but yes.
Was he good?
He was adequate.
Rodrigo de Paul was talking about.
Yeah, of course. The tackles that go in that tournament, a lot more tasty. I counted probably about 20 yellow cards by Premier League standards, which reinforces what we were saying before about the standard of refereeing in the Euros being better than the Premier League. The Premier League being so fucking weak now for refereeing. Last night, I think there would have been about probably 4 or 5 red cards by Premier League standards.
To continue the cosmopolitan theme in my sticker pack is Wayne Hennessy. It's really taking us on an exciting tour around the world of glamorous international footballers. That lump.
Who didn't know about the Nazis. That was his argument, wasn't it? When he was caught...
Hadn't heard about them.
He was photographed on Instagram, wasn't he, in the background doing a salute, and his argument, which is actually makes Kiko Casilla's argument seem not as bad, was that he'd not heard about the Nazis. Not something that crossed his path before then. Now I have got in my pack Clement Lenglet, who is at Barcelona, I think. He's actually relatively well known. And Yannick Carrasco, who I've also heard of, because he was once bought by me on Football Manager and did really well. So that's good. And then I've got Adam Nagy, who's Hungarian. And then I've got a shiny, France.
Oh, one of the big hitters.
These shinies aren't, they're not that shiny.
So look, there's not a lot of light in here.
I haven't had a shiny yet.
Oh. Like I remember the 90s, 96 sort of Merlin sticker albums of the Premier League. There was a lot of shine on those. They were more like, the badge was in the middle. There was a lot of
shine. Oh yeah, I mean, if you pointed your shiny at the sun and then directly at your eyes, you were blind.
So, have you ever photocopied a shiny?
No, what happens?
Get good results. It
really?
Always looks really cool. Yeah.
Oh, and what do you do with the photocopy that you've made?
I used to give it to your friends. Make fanzines with photocopied football stickers in the background.
Technically, you still do.
Yeah, although Eamon's kind of overruled me on the photocopying
photocopying and stapling have kind of gone now, haven't they?
It's a shame.
I remember when we first started getting the mag going again, we were still in that realm of being like, I could just make it at work on a photocopy. It was like, I'll stay behind, I'll knock out loads of copies on the printer and no one need know. But then we quite rightly got someone involved who knew how printing presses worked. So what he was like, no, don't do that.
Knew how printing presses work. Yeah.
Gutenberg.
Mr. Gutenberg was a big help when we were getting going.
And we've taken a far more mature approach as well to software to create the magazine.
Does it look any better, though? Does it look any better? Anyway, I've noticed how many of these players, do they all play for Minnesota United, do you think? This has been haunting me. I feel like every match I keep watching, the commentators, and I don't know if they're doing it as a joke. Well, yes, bringing him off the bench, the centre forward from Minnesota United is, and it's half, they're all Finnish and Danes, and I think it's Hansen, somebody called Hansen.
Mbop, yep.
Yeah, them. But yeah, there's a lot of players from Minnesota United, and then when I looked up Minnesota United, they're managed by Adrian Inchi Heath.
I was just saying that, yeah.
And they're not that good, but they do seem to be...
That's Adrian Heath, who was at Man City version 1.0.
And Burnley for ages.
Yeah, some years back.
But that seems to be coming up quite a lot.
So what's mental? Talk about North Macedonia for just a minute, and Gianni, who had a very quiet day again against Austria when they lost 3-1, lost his man for the first goal. Did he get a pre-assist in that equaliser? Or is that stretching it a little bit?
I mean, given the nature of that equaliser, it's hard to give...
Which was like a pinball table.
It's hard to give any player credit for an assist there because it was just lots of bad defending.
And then Arnautovic came off the bench, scored that third, and yelled a load of racist stuff at Gianni.
That was nice of him, wasn't it?
His mother.
Mm.
He's always seemed like a prick, as Arnautovic.
What's he done to you?
I don't know. He falls out with people everywhere he goes, doesn't he? He's one of those players. And he always seems like he'd be really good. And then he gets a move somewhere and it works for about 6 months.
Who's he played for? I don't know.
He was at West Ham. He was at Stoke for a bit. He's in China now, I think.
Okay.
Because he wanted someone who'd pay him a lot, while not minding that he's a twat.
You chose your words carefully there, I noticed.
Yes. an alleged racist. But yeah, don't do that to Gianni. He doesn't deserve it.
Do you think Gianni's maybe gone into this tournament like trying to showcase himself to try and get his next move or a new contract or whatever? Because the Leeds one seems to be still sat on the table. He's not signed for anyone else that we know of yet. And his contract is up in 2 weeks. It's a mad position for a footballer to take, but actually one that you could fully understand Gianni Alioski taking because he's absolutely batshit mental.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like he's made a mistake. What Victor Orta was saying about him playing through the end of the season without a contract and that he couldn't believe his commitment is kind of, you know, reminiscent of Berardi last season, signing up and risking his career. But it doesn't seem like that's been the process here. It almost seems like he's just kind of forgotten.
I'll deal with it afterwards.
He is in the gent. Like, there's two ways the Euros can go for him. Either he looks, well, I suppose there's three ways. One, he looks absolutely brilliant and Napoli come through with a massive contract and say, we want you to play for us in the Champions League.
We want you as a new recruit.
Or he's absolutely terrible in every single game and nobody wants to touch him. Third option is somebody snaps his leg and then what's his career? He's out for a year without a contract. And it's a slightly different, you know, I don't know if Leeds would be in the same position where they'd be like, oh, well, give Berardi one, but, you know.
If he breaks his leg playing for Macedonia, though, it's quite a different thing.
So it's a difficult situation for him, but I don't know. I mean, I was quite intrigued. The Athletic did a bit about him and some new information that actually, you know, we always have that joke about him being raised by Wolves. Turn out he's actually raised by a referee. His dad was a footballer turned referee for 15 years in Switzerland, and it does wonder if his subsequent character is kind of a rebellion against a strict upbringing from his referee father.
Is that his movie character? That'd be his movie character, rebelling against that the authoritarian father.
But then the other side of it is, which kind of does come out with the abuse from Arnautovic, is his kind of status as an Albanian in the North Macedonian team that we've kind of mentioned on here before, that there's that's always been quite an interesting situation for him. His family was thrown out of a restaurant in Skopje when they were heard speaking Albanian, and some of the abuse he's had playing for the national team from Macedonian football fans who they complain that the Albanian players don't sing the national anthem properly and they're not real Macedonians, and that's the reason why they don't succeed. And one of the things Gianni did, I think it was in his first season at Leeds, after an international match, the interviewer started asking him questions in English and he said, no, I want to speak Macedonian, please, if this is for Macedonian television and I'm wearing a Macedonia shirt, I'll, you know, let me speak the language. So he's had this, it's been part of his story internationally, is the way his ethnicity is kind of absorbed or rejected by the national team, and the way that develops, I don't think is necessarily helped when he gets to the world stage, having Arnautovic talking about fucking his mother. Mm. So it's all part of quite an interesting story. The serious side of Gianni Alioski is something that is kind of fascinating to see sometimes. Certainly when his family was thrown out of that restaurant and there was television coverage of him sort of sitting with journalists and very sincerely explaining the situation and how they'd all made him feeling like, what a serious young man this is. And then you see him at Leeds squeaking like a dolphin. And what a man of contradictions and many multifacets.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
England versus Scotland, Wembley, Friday, should be good fun. We'll reconvene on Saturday, I think, to do a Euro ball. We'll talk about that. Cooper started on the left-hand side of a back three against the Czech Republic, in which Scotland lost probably a bit unfairly, do you think?
They were a bit unlucky, weren't they? I mean, the second goal in particular is one of those ridiculous things that just happens.
You laugh your head off at it unless it happens to you. It's like Naeem from the halfway line with Seaman and Ronaldinho, isn't it? And all that malarkey from Japan and Korea when he got lofted from out wide.
I was pleased to see Cooper not at fault for the first anyway, because when I saw it go in, I was like, oh, let's just see the replay, see whose man this is. But it was Hanley's man, wasn't it?
And so he took the ailing flop north of the border nice and early. He's been spreading the gospel of Luke up there is it Glasgow, that stadium?
It was in Glasgow.
Of course,
yes.
It's in Glasgow. Yeah, I always forget. It's confusing because Queen's Park play there but don't really play there anymore. They've got a little pokey stadium next to it now, haven't they, Queen's Park?
It was always one of those bizarre things growing up when you find out Queen's Park play at Hampden. You're like, what? But why? And it remains a fair question. Why did they ever? Very odd.
So what do you fancy then from that one towards the back end of the week? It should be an England victory on the... I mean, I say that not, you know, with our England hats on, but just on the basis of what we've seen so far.
It should, yeah.
But it's going to be a leveller, isn't it? Because they're going to give it their absolute all. And the inspiration of John Carver on their bench alongside Steve Clarke driving Scotland on.
Yes, those lads who grew up in Scotland hating the English people like Liam Cooper. I'm sure they just gives them that extra bit of incentive, doesn't it?
And his replacement, young lad at the back from the Benelux nations. We don't know which one quite yet.
Who are we talking
about? Pascal Strouk.
What's he got to do with Scotland? You're confusing me.
He got engaged, didn't he, on what looked like, I think it was Bridlington Seafront.
Yes, Ilan Meslier has gone off to some mad campsite somewhere, hasn't he?
He looks like he's on his gap year, doesn't he? Because you got involved in a Twitter exchange about the price of this place, as you always do, Michael, because that's your primary concern in life, is how much will this cost me?
And it's very cheap, isn't it? Affordable.
What was it? What was he paying for his...
I think someone pointed out it was €95 a night, which seems fine. It looks nice. It looks gorgeous as well, overlooking all the trees and everything. You've got a pool there. You've got some really rusty weights. You've got the longest man to ever lay in that hammock. He's such a strange-looking man, isn't
he? Where is it he's gone?
I think it's France somewhere. I don't know where exactly.
Is it a gîte? I don't know what a gîte is, but I like the word.
It's a gîte.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, it's a gîte. But yeah, it looks nice compared to... I think him and Click, I've enjoyed the look of their holidays more than any of the Leeds player. Like Jack Harrison, it's all very well being on a hilltop with your gorgeous wife, but I'd rather be in a hammock with Meslier.
Did you see the video of Jackie with his dog?
Yeah, playing head tennis with it.
The most somehow managed to train his pooch to play head tennis. And I mean, that's fine. You can picture, like, you might train Rover to do that in your backyard. And that's
my
okay.
My dog does play football, you know.
Well, there you go.
The younger puppy, it will kick a ball around if I give it kick a ball to it. But it also did trip me up in the process and I nearly broke my spine because I landed on my coccyx, is it? The base of your spine.
I imagine your touch is quite disappointing as well compared to Jack Harrison's if you're trying to knock a ball around.
And it wasn't only the touch. It was, you would film yourself doing that in your back garden in Bradford. He filmed himself in some tropical paradise with a, as the sun was going down.
Presumably Costa Rica, because that's where he's been knocking him out with.
It was Manningham, I think, is where he was.
Okay.
And
then,
doing it.
And then at the conclusion, once him and the dog had had enough of this head tennis, they both jumped into the swimming pool together. And it's like, does life...
He's got the perfect life, hasn't he? And I hate him for it.
He does. Yeah.
Paid a fortune, beautiful girlfriend, beautiful dog that does whatever he wants.
And then Pascal Stroik,
and they swim together.
To go back to old Pascal, I think he's got a very... different style to Ilan Meslier, because the photographer who fortunately just happened to be passing when he was proposing.
Congratulations to the local peeping Tom who managed to get the snaps there, who just happened to be peering over that wall
and
scattered the rose petals for him.
Yeah, exactly. All that stuff. It did look absolutely perfect. But then somebody with that quality of beard and hair, it was kind of, he does look like he's off the cover of a Mills and Boone novel, and
it could be a decent pirate, I think, actually. Like he's sailing around the Dutch West Indies, which would fit with his name as well.
Yeah,
is he too young to be tying himself down? 21 years old.
Alex Ferguson obviously managed Moscow's favorite club. He was always all for it, wasn't he, about his young players settling down, getting into the life,
like Ryan Giggs.
But yeah, exactly. That, yeah, keep it in the family and all that, so they weren't wayward and didn't go off partying, which is obviously difficult to instill in people. But there does seem to be a decent culture of that at Leeds. I say, fully aware that these words could blow up in my face at any point.
Love rats, Pascal Strauch.
I think also there's a certain amount of kind of time pressure involved, because at some point Ellie Goulding is going to get sick of singing at all their weddings. So it's kind of, you need to get to the front of the queue if you want to have her performing, because she's not going to be around forever.
You're just wondering now, Michael, as you're an older man than Pascal Strauch by, you know, at least a decade. Any regrets there coming through in your question? I just wondered if there's maybe something Freudian lurking in that question.
No, but I was a much older man. At 21, I think I was much more of an idiot.
Yeah.
And I think he should be too. I'm not sure where I'm going with the argument, to be honest. Yeah, he's got a lovely girlfriend. He should probably just marry her.
What's the most idiotic thing you did at 21?
God, I don't know. It's just day-to-day stuff you do, isn't it, when you're 21. Just bad decisions you make most nights.
Go on, tell me about one of your bad decisions that you made.
I feel like this is too personal to get on to go on a podcast.
This is the good stuff. We'll open some more stickers in a minute to hide your shame. Go on, what have you done? Tell me one thing that you've done that you think that was silly.
I feel like this is a bad avenue to go down.
Leave the poor boy alone.
No, we're here now.
Why don't you tell us some of your things, Dan? Always looking at his stickers, would you believe he doesn't want to go down this route?
I did. There was one funny thing I did when I was about 21 and had sort of an on-off thing with a girl who was, like, I think she was a year younger than me at university, and I kind of upset her and let her down a little bit. So I went up to Newcastle Airport because she was flying back in from she was on a field trip, geography or whatever, and I thought, I'll go up there and apologise, because I thought I'd been a bit careless with her feelings. So I went up there and waited in the arrivals hall for them all to come through, and she walked through hand in hand with her ex-boyfriend. So that's one of the foolish things I've done, because my judgment was a little askew.
I mean, it was
very interesting trying to explain why I was there.
I suppose if we're going down that route, I mean, I did move to Oxford with a girlfriend, and then I did go to South America with one as well, and neither of them worked out, so... Yeah, never mind.
At least you never shut up about going to South America for the years subsequent.
Oh, yeah, speaking of South America, I've got a South American player, which is good news.
In the Euros?
Yep. Jorginho, who's apparently Italian. So there you go. I mean, latest pack of stickers, Moscow, you can have Jorginho.
Yeah, I've got a particularly ropey batch here. I've got Ryan Christie, who is obviously Scottish. Then I've got Alexander Zubkov from Ukraine. I've got Jeremy Doku from Belgium. Hans Hatterboer. It looks like Hans Saboteur is how I'm kind of reading that.
Yeah.
When I see it. And then I've got a nice picture of the Slovak lads all celebrating something. Looks like they're mobbing a goalkeper. I'm guessing that's a penalty shootout.
Have a look at that. Is it a group shot? Oh, no, that's interesting. At least it's a group shot rather than just the picture of him. I mean, look at this, right? This guy, Attila, S-Z-A-L-L-A, AI. Again, I'm not going to try and pronounce it because I'll only fuck it up. But he's Hungarian. I mean, if he came knocking at your door asking for money that you owed, you'd give him it, wouldn't you?
I think him and Zubkov both look a little bit...
Jesus Christ, if they... Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, he's quite stern, isn't he?
Zubkov has killed people with his bare hands before.
You can imagine these two on the doors down Call Lane or something like that. Not tonight, lads. Why not? Just not tonight. Fair enough. I'll go somewhere else then. Here, you can have him. Ah, Ben Davies, Welshman. There you go. A name I recognise. Who does he play for?
Is he Tottenham Hotspur?
Yep.
So, trying to look stern, but not really carrying it off.
We've got a Swedish goalkeeper, Robin Olsen. I have one of the skillful, real standout stars of the tournament, Kiefer Moore. Adrian Robot, French midfielder. Pavel Pervin, Austria, I assume he's their goalkeeper. And Dedrick Boyata from Belgium.
Once of Man City.
Speaking of Man City, I've got Zinchenko here. He's another one of these half and half vertical stickers with a guy called Victor. Again, I'm not going to pronounce his surname. This is the thing with the expansion of this tournament, it's led to a lot more Eastern European teams coming in and a lot of names that we can't pronounce, which we're struggling with.
But it's nice to make their acquaintance anyway.
It is. And do we recognise this guy who is Russian, Artem Zyuba? D-Z-Y-U-B-A. I recognise him from somewhere.
Oh, this fucking Austrian goalkeeper's a double bastard.
There you go. That's the remainder of my stickers, Moscow.
Zubkov plays for Ferencvaros, so presumably he's a...
Is he still smarting from our victory against them in the... Is it the Fairs Cup that we played Ferencvaros?
I was going to suggest he's probably a big Bobby Davison fan. Yeah. Probably got tattoos of him and stuff. There's a desperate Leeds link for you.
Hey, we need to talk about your boy, Tyro. No Tyro, no party. It was for Wales the other day, but he signed a new deal at Leeds. Everyone dead pleased about that, taking him to the summer of 2024. I mean, you're basically his hype man, so justify yourself.
His performances speak for themselves. Why wouldn't you give that kid a new contract? Well, obviously, I think it's good news. We've rehearsed over and over all the kind of the arguments for and against. And I kind of tallied up his age against other players. 22, it takes him through to 25. And when Pat Bamford was 25, he was just getting his permanent move to Middlesbrough. And had basically, at that point, done absolutely nothing. And his few appearances that he'd been allowed in the Premier League by Sean Dyche and... Who was that idiot at Crystal Palace that didn't believe he was left-footed? Was it Pardew?
Probably.
I'm happy to blame Pardew.
He absolutely wasn't having it that he was left-footed rather than right-footed. So if you kind of, you know, track him against the careers of some of his peers, he's not as far behind... As I think sometimes the criticism makes it seem.
Lewis Baker is 26.
Yeah.
Think of it that way.
Is he really?
He is. Just looked him up.
He's probably a millionaire and he's done nothing in the game.
Well, I think you're forgetting his 19 games on loan at Reading. Not to mention his 8 at Fortuna Dusseldorf.
And Calvin Phillips is a perfect example that, you know, at age 22, people would quite willingly have driven him out of Leeds themselves because Ronaldo Vieira was the player that we needed to build our midfield around. And it was unbelievable that Vieira should be sold to Sampdoria, which tells you, you know, obviously he's highly rated and we're keeping this loser, Calvin Phillips. So things can change. The only thing, and you know, you can't sugarcoat it, he hasn't shown exceptional ability or, you know, the idea that he's some kind of Phil Foden just waiting to burst out seems fanciful. But you don't know. And I don't think that 3 years finding out is going to really do any severe damage to Leeds United. He ain't holding us back. That's the thing.
And he cost a fair bit of money to replace.
Yeah, he's a known quantity as well. That's the other thing. And I think in another 2 years' time, when we find ourselves in the same situation with a year left, we'll know all about him in 2 years' time, whether he's stepped up or not.
And the past, I think his the situation with his injuries gets underplayed. We made the same point about Pat Bamford in his first season where he was quite disappointing and people were saying, you know, oh, let's get rid of him or keep Kamal Roof. But he'd had two massive knee injuries during his first season at Leeds and then puts that behind him and he suddenly looks a lot better. With Tyler Roberts, the infection that was attacking his knee was a potential career ender. And it took them, the reason he got that reputation of being always injured is because nobody could diagnose what the hell was wrong with him. Until eventually they managed to pin it down to this infection. that come about as a result of the operation that he'd had. And then that was the way to solve it. And then since then, so the first 2 years under Bielsa, when people were saying, you know, why hasn't he developed the way that the other players had? Well, most of the time, he was either bacteria was trying to eat his knees from inside, or it was three operations he needed to get past that once they finally worked out what the problem was. So he's not had the chance since joining Leeds until this season to just concentrate on getting better. And this season, I think we forget a little bit that some of the training that they've been allowed to do has been altered by COVID, you know, the way training protocols are being, who you're allowed to be with, how big the groups can be, all this kind of stuff. It's not been the simple process that that it could have been. And this contract essentially now says, all right, you've come through all this, you've played a decent number of games in the Premier League, helped us get further up the Premier League than we ever expected, keep doing it, and we'll spend the money that we might have needed to replace him on a new left. But we can, you know, if we don't have to spend £15 million signing Ryan Brewster to do the Tyler Roberts' job of being a reserve striker, midfielder, winger, then we can spend all that, we can add that money to the budget for a left back and get a much better first team player in a situation where we need it. And when Tyler Roberts plays, I don't think he's going to be terrible.
Or we could give all that money to Red Bull Leipzig.
Yeah, we'll get onto that in a second. Well, all the whispers coming out of the club seem to be it's going to be two or three players this summer. So left back definitely on the agenda, centre midfielder you'd expect, and possibly a winger as well, which might, don't know, spell the end for Costa. I just don't know. It feels like we're going to lose somebody.
I mean, Ian Pervader's lurking in the background as well, isn't he, for Costa's spot?
Ian Pervader is fucking terrifying. We talked about during the first lockdown when Mr. and Mrs. Jackie Harrison were just constantly on Instagram posting pictures of themselves taking fitness to quite frightening degrees. Pervader's on that train now, and I'm not sure how I feel about a strong Ian Pervader, because he looks like a little short little lad.
I don't want him to get all serious and focused. I want him to be there as
the
jester.
He's putting these videos of him with his shirt off lifting weights, and he, you know, it's frightening.
He's going to come back like Traore.
Strength on that, yeah.
We'll be oiling him up.
That's it. He's like a 4-foot-2 Traore with an impish little grin and his four foot two
wide as well.
I know he's a professional athlete, so I maybe shouldn't have been quite as surprised by it, but he was doing some squats with what looked to be an impossible amount of weight for his tiny little legs.
What's a squat?
When you've crouched down some weights on you.
I was going to say, it tells a story of itself, that, doesn't it? What's a squat? Is that where you put it on your shoulders and you...
It's a bit like when you sit down for a poo, but with some weights on you. Think of it that way.
You put them on your shoulders, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, yeah.
But he was doing that.
It's terrible.
Poo on your shoulders.
I'm trying to just explain it.
Never go to a gym.
In a context, Dan, I'll understand.
I do have a gym membership, but I prefer to go there and swim. That's what my... It's lower impact.
Sat in a jacuzzi. That's what you're doing.
I don't want to aggravate my pre-existing conditions, etc. Yeah, so Wales play Turkey at 5 p.m. UK time tomorrow as we record. So I'd like to see Tyler get a run out in that. That'd be nice. Before that, the big game, we've got Hungary versus Portugal, but the big one is France versus Germany, 8 o'clock tonight, Tuesday night as we're recording it, when presumably we will see hot French striker Jean-Kevin Augustin bursting through, bagging goals and lifting his shirt to reveal the all Leeds, aren't we, on his base layer.
If there's one thing he won't be, it's burnt out, because he's not played a huge amount of football in the last couple of years, has he?
Yeah, so we're talking obviously about that initial ruling from FIFA, who have in the first instance upheld the legal opinion that the energy drinks people put forward in this deal. But it feels like it's got distance to run yet, this one. I know it's kind of a blow to have the initial verdict go against you, but there's still the appeals process at FIFA. Then it can go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, who will create a final ruling. And then I guess there's always the option of some sort of settlement in between times just to make this go away.
Yeah, I feel like we'll, if nothing else, so it doesn't affect this summer's transfer business, I feel like we will try and kick this down the line as much as
possibly can. The appeals process is going to put it into next season at very least, isn't it? If they've all got to make the cases again and all the rest of it.
I mean, if we do have to pay for him, he is undoubtedly the worst transfer the club has ever made, which is some stiff competition when people talk about Seth Johnson and Brolin and people like that. But the value for money we got out of his 48 minutes that he played for us is going to struggle to ever be beaten, I think.
But then again, you know, we've had Wazim Boy on, presumably, what, 10 grand a week? should we say, just as a rough guesstimate, for 4 years? That's a lot of money as well.
I know, we still might end up having to pay Augustine's contract as well. That'd be the thing. If they rule that we should have actually bought him, presumably he will then say,
sue for damages.
Well, in that case, I should have been due my 4-year contract on 80 grand a week or whatever, which
that's a lot of money.
Which is fairly awful.
Kinnear did at one point give the impression that whatever happens, it's not going to affect transfer budgets. It was either, he wasn't really clear on it, but it was either that they'd kind of, they'd set aside some money or they just weren't asked.
Chad Hurley, YouTube.
Well, yeah, and that's it.
You want to buy an expensive French striker, Chad?
Because if it comes out of, you know, if there's a profit and sustainability angle, I don't think it would affect that. It comes kind of, it's just a legal bill that has to be paid. And I don't know what the payment terms would be, because we're talking about how long it will take to actually get to a final decision on who is liable or how much they're liable for. Then it's the payment terms. It's like, I don't think it will be 5 days to pay £20 million. It will probably be
40 know, quid a week.
Yeah, exactly. They'll come up with some kind of fairly low impact way of of sorting it out. So I don't think we're going to get to a situation where we will be unable to sign a player because of what has happened with Jean-Kevin Augustin. There's all things just a bit of a mess.
Just looking down the fixtures, by the way, one that jumps out at me is North Macedonia versus the Netherlands, and that's going to get played in Amsterdam on Monday, the 21st of June. I would love to see a wide-eyed Jani Alioski walking around the streets of Amsterdam, having never been there before. Like, you know, when you get these films, your classic fish out of water film, where Jani's just walking around going, what? Well, what would you make of it all? If you've not been to Amsterdam.
What is there in Amsterdam that he wouldn't have seen in Skopje? Well, Switzerland, he grew up in, you know, Lugano. It's not the back end of nowhere.
I'm not suggesting that, but there are some parts of Amsterdam that will open your eyes. Let's just phrase it that way.
I think he's seen a naked lady before as well. He's not a total rube.
Just talking about Spain then briefly. The Spain-Sweden fixture actually was a bit of a letdown because obviously Rodrigo hasn't made it. He got sent home from the parallel COVID bubble squad.
He got clapped out. And not tired, but they gave him a guard of honour and a round of applause for the other players. It was like, thanks for coming. Now, fuck off.
Then Llorente had COVID, obviously. Didn't have COVID then, and then didn't have it again. So he got to go back in, but didn't play.
He got clapped in. Gave him a guard of honour on the way. And it seems like Spain were unable to beat Sweden because it spent all their training sessions just giving people rounds of applause as
they're knackered.
Walk on and off the pitch.
They looked weirdly toothless, actually, Spain against Sweden. I mean, Sweden are a good side as well. They caused problems for other teams. Pontus didn't play, did he, either?
No, the whole thing was... Yesterday, Monday, was kind of going to be the big Leeds day with Captain Cooper, then Matthias Glick, who did set up the goal for Poland with a lovely little reverse pass, which was one of those kind of get-in-there Leeds player moments. But they ultimately lost, and then we didn't get Llorente or Rodrigo or even Pontus Janssen in the last match of the day. So I don't know why they're even bothering playing these matches if Leeds players aren't in them.
Just wrapping up the other Leeds stuff that's come to light in the last few days then, and talking of Scotland as well, David Robertson, always a big favourite at Elland Road in the number 3 shirt following Tony DiRigo. Although he's done something probably better than he ever did in his time at Leeds United. Well, the Queen's pleased anyway, because she had a birthday. And you know when she's... Normally, when it's someone's birthday, you get presents from, don't you? She gives them out.
And if there's one thing the Queen loves, it is Scotsmen managing teams in war zones. She can't get enough of that shit. She was like, give that man a medal.
His Real Kashmir FC. He's been the boss there, doing management work there. And it's an interesting career choice, which we have spoken about before.
The documentary is very good. It probably is still on iPlayer or YouTube. Or something. But yeah, it's worth a watch. He comes across very well in it, does Robertson.
He's got a British Empire medal.
For a man I disliked quite intensely when he played for Leeds, I finished the documentary thinking he was a really good bloke.
There's a human behind every footballer, Michael. Remember that. And finally, are we going to have a sister club in Italy? Looks like we might have, because Andrea Ratrazzani, seems hell-bent on buying clubs to build some sort of evil empire. Salernitana, who I've sort of heard of.
They've got 1919 in their full name.
Have they?
Which does seem like a strange... kind of a pre-brand rebranding thing that we've done to them. So, yeah, let's have them, I suppose. I mean, I think I've said before, I don't, on principle, I don't really like the idea of feeder clubs because it's, I feel sorry for the fans of Salernitana if their role in life is to turn someone into being half decent and to earn enough of those points so we can then just nick them. But, yeah, you know.
The other connection with Salernitana that I'm learning in real time from Wikipedia is that they originally wore light blue and white striped shirts, very much as Leeds United did. Also that they're...
Are they a tribute club? Is this what's happening?
Their club...
Are they a tribute band? Are they a bit like Fake That?
Their club badge looks like it's...
No Oasis.
It's some kind of stylized seahorse.
It's a good badge, actually. Mm. I do like that.
It's heading an eight-pointed star.
Or it's having a star thrown at it. One of those Japanese...
A throwing star.
Yeah.
A throwing star. They kill seahorses with those. In where are they based? Italy. That's where they're based. Salerno, of course.
The story there is that their current owners... I read that as Lolita then, but it's not. It's Letito. And Mezza Roma need to sell as soon as possible because Letito also owns Lazio and you can't have two teams owned by the same person in the same division.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange setup, is that? But yeah, I think there is a deadline on this that they need to get rid of it. So it might be going cheap. Who knows?
Oh, they have a 22-year-old winger called Mirko Antonucci.
Oh.
But is...
Any relation?
Well, every part of the name is spelt slightly differently. He's Mirko Antonucci. It's like he's a bad photocopy of our Mirko Antonucci. Make a fucking run, Mirko. There's nobody else we really want from their squad. I think one club should be enough. All this business, everybody's like, oh no, we've got to sell this club because I own that club. Just own one each, and then everybody knows where they're at. And then anything more than that's just sort of greedy.
Well, let's just quickly run through the transfer stuff that's been knocking about this week. It seems quiet, doesn't it, at the minute? Very quiet, although that link to Maxwell Cornet has surfaced via Alan Nixon, bit in paper from The Sun, who is the 24-year-old recently converted winger to left-back who is at Lyon, who'd be about €20 million if you're to believe the reports. Do you want him?
Yep.
Phil Massinger used to play for them.
Who, Salernitana?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And, definitely and Danny Teato.
Get involved in that. Noah Lang still won't go away, and Fabrizio Romano, who said that the Rodrigo De Paul deal was all but done, is reporting that we are still in for Noah Lang.
He's had an interesting end to the season, hasn't he, Noah Lang?
Yeah, singing. Well, if you're not caught up with this story, essentially he was caught singing a song. Who's the reference to?
It's to do with Anderlecht, I believe, who are the rivals of Club Bruges, where he's been, and they are known in some songs as like the Jews is how they're referred to, in the same way as Spurs, I guess, have kind of got those links. But as a result, he was chanting, "I'd rather die than be a Jew."
Right, yeah. But when taken in isolation, that's a little unfortunate, isn't it?
I mean, even taken in any context, it's probably quite unfortunate. And his excuse was like, I just chanted enthusiastically with some thoughts. I'd only just met them and they were singing this song. I think you would go, oh, we were singing a song, are we? I would rather die... Oh, okay. That's the way this is going, is it? Right. Maybe I won't sing. Have you got any other songs, lads?
Yeah, it feels like the folly of a young man, as much as we laugh nervously about this one.
I guess he's maybe got carried away in a group. I don't know. It's not brilliant, is it?
One of the interesting points here is that he's Surinamese Dutch as well, like Hasselbank. He's Surinamese, wasn't he? So and still is. So there's a lot of link back to the past there anyway. Well, we'll watch that one and see what happens and deal with it as and when, I guess. But he looks quick and skillful on that.
As does Mateus Cunha,
yep,
who continues to be linked. He's liking odd bits and follows Rafinha on Instagram, which is a lot of joining of dots that don't necessarily need joining.
What he needs to do is come out and reply to some sort of fan account saying that he wants to move, and that would...
I've seen you trying.
Light the blue. Well, if he's, you know, don't knock a tryer. God loves a tryer.
The true sign will be when Cunha follows Rodrigo De Paul on Instagram. That's when
and he ends up at Atletico Madrid.
The circle will be complete.
Speaking of Madrid, are we getting Marcelo from Real Madrid?
This is a bizarre story. This isn't happening, is it?
He's 33 years old. How does he in any way, shape or form fit the profile of the sort of player that we need, which is players with future value, resale value, building them up?
No. I think we're at the link Leeds with any left-back stage, aren't we? It's just one of those things. We're not getting him, I'm fairly sure.
Would you put your house on it?
Yes.
Should we do one more pack of stickers then, just before we head off? Is it your turn, Moscow?
Well, it's all our turn.
You've not even mentioned poor Ryan Edmondson, who's been shipped out to spend a year with Simon Grayson. in League One.
And you couldn't even be bothered to spell his name right on the script.
Yeah, what? more important than that, I've got a shiny.
Ooh, who have you got?
Austria. I've got Austria as a shiny.
Shiny for me.
Is that because stick it in the face of Gianni Alioski?
Christ's sake, I've got Kai Havertz twice in this pack.
But in one pack?
Once as a big sticker, once as a small one.
He must know that you're a Chelsea fan because we established that, didn't we, last week?
And he's on his split sticker with Gundogan.
Actually, there's a number of players in here I've heard of. Eric Garcia from Spain. I've got Lorenzo Insigne, which was that shower gel from the 1980s from Italy. And Pavel, I don't know this one. He's a guy from the Czech Republic. Pavel
Chibitsky.
Kadraback. But this one I've heard of. Yannick Vestergaard, who's Danish. And then Austria Shiny. That's exciting. The Shiny is exciting. You're right, Michael. The Shinies are nowhere near as good as they used to be.
I got another couple of Finns. I got Jukka Reitala and then also the former Leeds United legend, Bob Taylor.
Is he in there still?
Yeah, there's Robert Taylor playing for Finland now. Went moved from we swapped him for Carl Schutt with Bristol City, and then he ended up being a West Brom legend. I found on eBay, I didn't buy it, a VHS cassette of Bob Taylor, legend. All his goals for the Baggies. They absolutely loved him. And this was back when the only televised football I could find on my little portable TV was Central. And they showed a Sunday afternoon match. So I saw a lot of Bob Taylor.
When you gathered round the wireless
for West Brom
as a family.
Oh, no, we had pictures. We had TV.
Talking
on,
pictures?
TV on that radio.
The talkies as well as the movies. It's amazing.
I've got Breel Mbolo, who was very good in the game I watched for Switzerland. I was thinking we should sign him straight away as a backup for Pat. And then I've got Spurs player, who I believe it's pronounced Pierre-Emile Højbjerg.
Yep, correct. Well done.
Yeah, I've looked it up. So it's actually a fairly decent pack, isn't it?
But another double, Robert.
And a Finland.
Robert Mazan popped up. And then my last ones are Matches Click's mates, Peter Zielinski and Bobby Lewandowski.
Well, we wait with bated breath to see what the next set of packs throw up. How many have we got now in reserve packs-wise there?
There's three.
Right.
Four.
We're bringing more next time, are we?
Yeah, we'll just do sticker ball.
Cool. We're returning on probably Saturday, we reckon. Although Moscow probably can't be asked with that one either. We'll,
who's playing?
England-Scotland on a Friday. With that one in mind, then let's just do a prediction just so we can get some egg on our faces. What do you reckon?
Gary McAllister will miss a penalty.
Will it lead to something up the other end just moments later? Because that is my single frame of reference. Apart from the Gaza goal that followed that, you know, the dentist chair one, that's my England versus Scotland frame of reference, that Euro 96.
There have been others since, haven't there? I know there was a playoffs for Euros, was it once? I remember we were fairly fortunate to get through. I think it was when Keegan was manager, actually, in that sort of strange period. I think we will win 3-1.
I was going to say 3-1. Yeah.
It's always been kind of a no-lose game for Leeds because, you know, back in the day it would be Billy Bremner and Peter Lorimer and Eddie Graham one team and Jack Charlton and Norman Hunter and Alan Clark on the other. So my prediction will be Calvin Phillips will be player of the match for England and Liam Cooper will be player of the match for Scotland and the result will be irrelevant.
Speaking of Eddie Gray, he's on the Phil Hay show this week, which is going to be thrilling. We are desperately giddy about that, aren't we, Michael?
Yeah, I'm actually quite nervous.
He might have stronger opinions about the England-Scotland fixture expressing.
It does feel like a proper kind of royal visit vibe, doesn't it?
You can ask him about all that. What was it like playing against Norman Hunter? I presume they did. They must have done. But they did it in there.
Eddie was only capped, I think, 12 times for Scotland or something like that. It was because of injuries. He missed out on quite a lot. And he missed out on the 74 World Cup too, I was reading.
Might have to settle for how he did against Norman Hunter when they were playing five-a-side England v Scotland in training and Don Revie was desperate for them not to hurt each other.
I'm aware this is maybe a bit late in the day to be bringing this, but Gareth Southgate has beaten Scotland already as England manager. In 2016, he beat Gordon Strachan, Scotland 3-0. Goals from Daniel Sturridge, Adam Lallana and Gary Cahill, who we know
imagine all three will feature.
Gary Cahill has since passed away, hasn't he? As we know from Rafinha ending him.
Right, we'll catch you at the weekend on the Euro Bowl. Look out for the Phil Hay show later on this week with Eddie Gray, and we'll speak to you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.